Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through. So have no fear. Oh, God can and God will. No matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win. Mama prays for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
I die a little every day, so I keep pressing down as I answer your call. Give me more of you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is July 13th, 2019. Today is July 13th, 2013. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are breaking the yokes of bondage. I want to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And certainly I want to thank my co-host who came on the air and filled in last week. She did an exceptional job. I thank God for that young lady. And I thank God for what God is doing in her life. And certainly I thank God for putting people in my pathway that will assist in ministry. And certainly when you in ministry, you need a team that's going to stand behind you and stand with you and certainly keep you in prayer. I want to say that I'm back in town. I've only been back in town for a few days. We went to Covington, Tennessee, me and my family, to see my aunt who is sick. And certainly I solicit your prayers for her recovery and her well-being. The older saints are getting off the scene and the younger saints are coming on. We have to be prepared and certainly training them. This blog is a training station. My ministry is a marketplace ministry. I've been called to assist, to train, to help others understand the Word of God and allow and walk in this Word in their emotional, mental, and some physical issues. So that is the purpose of this blog. If you don't get a text from me Saturday mornings, understand that we are on the air at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning at this number, at 213-943-3703. And I'm saying this now because the enemy certainly has tried to come against me this morning in every app, in every way possible, from attacking my body to attacking the electronics that I use in order to be on the air to give you this information. I pray that this information will prick, will touch, will sustain, will uplift those that click on to listen to the material, because this material is researched and it's based on the Bible. Don't do anything of Maria's emotions. I address my feelings sometimes. I address emotional hurts, but I address those emotional hurts through the Word of God and what the Word of God discusses and talks about. So we're on the line every morning at 9 o'clock, not every morning, but every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So if you don't get a text, understand there's a mechanical issue or some type of problem, but we're here. So as always, we talk about our announcements. Amazing Grace School of Ministry will be back in the fall, of course. And if you want to listen to any of our previous lessons, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. The host is Will Thou Be Made Whole. The name of the classes is Amazing Grace School of Ministries. If you have any questions, you can give me a call at 309-750-7584. And those are the lessons that you could just click on and listen to. But if you want CEUs, if you want to say I want to take the test, then contact me and we can work those out. All right. So last week, my co-host gave you the first lesson in this series, and certainly the title of that lesson was Grace Under Fire, Resolving Conflicts Peacefully. And this week, we're just going to dive into the second part, and that is the bitterness effect, the bitterness effect. And we're dealing with the same scriptures, Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 15, and they follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, and that's it, bitterness, springing up, trouble you, and thereby may defile you. So again, we started out talking about the peacemakers. Last week, we defined conflict resolution, and I need you to keep that in your mind. Conflict resolution is a process of attempting to resolve a dispute or a conflict. I want you to keep that in your head. And then we define what a peacemaker is, and is one who makes peace by reconciling parties that are at variance or at war with each other or have aught against each other. Well, today we're talking about the bitterness effect. And that little word, bitterness, I mean, and I said effect, and I want to spell that E-F-F-E-C-T, not effect, but effect, and meaning that the bitterness will result in an action that the bitterness inside will result in that individual doing something that they shouldn't do. So when you look at effect, the definition is a change which is a result. A change which is a result. So something inside of you causes you to be bitter, and as a cause of this bitterness, you react. A consequences of an action or other cause. So just want to get that out the way. Well, I want to define bitterness. It's the quality or state of being bitter, sharp, resentful, distressed, and some definition is a vexation of the mind. So when we look at bitterness and we look at the feeling of bitterness and how it creates resentment. And one of the things that bitterness does, it does create resentment. So some of the scriptures we could talk about, the lips that curls with bitterness. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Covers that definition. And then another definition of bitterness is a state of extreme enmity to God. And the verse that talks about that is, "Thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." So when you look at bitterness and when you look at bitter people, they would develop a critical spirit. They become judgmental and arrogant, and they murmur and complain in the effort to justify their negative emotions. So when you look at bitterness, when you look at what's going on in the world today, when we're looking at people that are being hurt, when people are the government, the struggles we're having with our leadership now, the fact that there's police brutality, the fact that there's so much going on in our society where others are going against, they have aught against another. So we're not walking peacefully with each other, but we're having aughts. We're having aughts with our neighbors. We have something to say. And certainly as African Americans, I look at the Housewives of Atlanta and all those new pictures that's coming on that depicts the African American lifestyle. But that is not the only lifestyle that African Americans have. We are also some peace-loving individuals. That means that we are trying to live peaceably with our neighbors. We are trying to live in a way that glorifies and magnifies a living God. And certainly when we allow bitterness, and bitterness creeps up when we get angry, when we find ourselves getting angry. Now, bitterness can be towards God, yourself, and others. And Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." So when you allow anger to creep in, you're allowing the enemy to allow bitterness to be rooted and grounded in your heart. The Bible says don't give place to the devil. So that means don't give the devil any opportunity to move in you, to build up anger, to build up negative feelings towards God or towards the individual, because a lot of stuff that we're going through is because it's a test. It's because there's something in us that God has to get out of us. And because God has to get that stuff out of us in order to worship Him, in order to walk upright before Him, in order to serve Him, there is a requirement. There is a path that we take. And this path is not broad, but it's narrow. That means God has to come to us, has to do to us that He did to David. And David said in the Psalms 51, "Search me, Lord. Take out everything that's not like you." And we've got to allow the Word of God to do that, because there's stuff that's embedded in us that I often talk about that will come up and will manifest it. You know, sometimes we get angry, we get bitter. We get bitter at our jobs. We get bitter and we feel like, you know, the staff, the my employers are not treating me right. They're not giving me the breaks that I need. They're not giving me the assignment. I've got more seniority over that individual, yet you put him over me. But God is saying, don't be bitter. We need to pray. We need to pray. The Bible says in all things, pray without ceasing. Everything we do, we need to pray. And it's a reason why that person has been set over us, or that person has gotten that position and you haven't. It's because God has not released it for you. You know, when we walk up before the Lord, and when the Psalms funds the Psalms. Ooh, praise the Lord. Let me slow down. When we look at First Psalms, when we look at Psalms 1, and it talks about my steps are ordered, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Then if it's ordered, then God is going to give us that promotion when it's in due season. You know, due season, there are seasons, there are times, there's operations where God operates in. Because He's working it out for you, and He's got to get us ready. He's got to take that remnant of bitterness that's springing up, that anger that you feel like somebody has mistreated you. You know, we can get bitter, and we can be fussing and fussing that person that cuts us off as we driving, and we can fuss. You know, you got that foam in your ear. Why you got that foam in your ear? But sometimes we need to say, Father God, bless him. God, he does not understand the error of his ways. And we've got to allow the peace of God to even rule and reign in that situation, because God is working something in us. And if the spirit of, if the word says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, then that means that I could speak to the atmosphere, and the atmosphere will understand what I'm saying, because I'm walking not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then God has to get out of me that stuff that will keep me from moving forward, that will spring up, that will make me angry, that will make me frustrated. And when we operate on our own frustrations, we are not allowing God to fix it. God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to trust Him enough that He will be, that He will guide and lead us. And it is hard to trust God with everything we've got. We say we trust Him, but yet we don't. Hallelujah. So when we look at Ephesians 4, it says, be angry and sin not. It says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Now, see, Satan will take that anger that you have, that hot temper, and you will fire off on somebody. See, you know, anger management. When you look at anger management, people who go through mental health providers that treat or do anger management classes will tell you that you need to step back, you need to blow off some steam, you need to take deep breaths, you need to walk it off. If you feel like you can't address, even with the kids, you know, you're not spanking your kids in anger. If they do something that really make you angry, make you mad, then you need to step back until you have calmed down before you discipline your children, because even if you discipline in your angry state, you would do something and make mistakes, and you will spank and whoop to the point of acting out of your anger. And God don't want that. God is not pleased with that. Then you become abusive instead of disciplined and correcting and dealing with their behavior. So when you look at Proverbs, and I'm going to Proverbs 22 and 24 through 25, it says, do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. So we're looking at anger as the element that will create bitterness. And not only will that bitterness create, or that anger create bitterness, but even in your body, it will open up doors of sickness. Now, medical sciences say that we have a door on every cell. Our thoughts and our words can change our cells minute by minute. Now, that's deep. You can speak to yourself. You can speak to your mind. You can speak to your body. God has given us the authority. I shall be, I will be, I am. I'm walking in God's authority. I'm releasing every part of bitterness in my life, every part of anger in my life. I'm walking in the peace of God. I am walking before Him because I understand that all those elements will keep me from going forward. Now, Hebrews 12 and 14. We're talking about those main scriptures. Now, pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness is indeed to get rid of bitterness. Holiness is needed, and I'm sorry, holiness is needed to get rid of bitterness. I hope you guys are still on the line. Hallelujah. We thank God for each of you that has tapped in or came on. Just had a momentary minute of technical problems, but the enemy is alive. So I'm going to read. We're talking about Hebrews 12 and 14 now, and it says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Now, these are different versions of the King James Version. Now, holiness is needed to get rid of bitterness. When we look at ourselves and when we walking upright before the Lord and when we pursuing to be a peacemaker, the Bible says, that first scripture, that's the theme scripture, Matthew 5 and 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So that means when we look at this scripture and it translates holiness into sanctification. Now, when we look at sanctification, it means Strong's defines this as to render or acknowledge or to be vulnerable or hollow. It says, two, to separate from profane things and to be dedicated to God. Consecrate your things to God, dedicate it to God. And third, to be purified, to be cleansed externally, to purify, to be free from guilt or sin, to purify internally by renewing the soul. Now, I often talk about the fact that we are made in the image of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We made body, soul, and spirit. And when we look at that spirit part, the Bible often talks about the soul, mind, will, and emotions. Mind, will, and emotions make up that soul, but in essence, 1 Thessalonians says that the soul is the totality of everything that we are, because we operate out of our heart. So the Bible says guard your heart, because the issues of life flow out of your heart. And in essence, if you feel like somebody didn't cut you off in the car, then you angry. If you feel like somebody has said something to you in church and they shouldn't have said it, or somebody have spoken to you harshly every day, you take that, you get angry, and then thus that manifests itself in a bitterness. And when it manifests itself into bitterness, then there's that next person that didn't do anything to you, you're going to react to, and you're going to go off on. So when the Bible says you need to purify yourself internally by renewing your soul, then I got to check where I'm at emotionally. Lord, I need to check where I am physically. I need to go in and check and say, Lord, now you know everything about me. Now you've got to cleanse me thoroughly with hyssop, that I might be clean, that whatever or whomever I've got an ought against, let me forgive. We've talked about forgiveness. We've talked about unforgiveness in previous blogs, but unforgiveness has the potential to hold bitterness in place. I'm not going to let him get away with that, but I am going to react. You know, you just can't say anything to me and I don't get you told. But God is probably working on some stuff in you. Yeah, hold your peace and let me fight your battles. Let me show you who I am. I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he also said, vengeance is mine. So if you belong to the King, if you belong to Christ, if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior and he's working it out for you, then he said, vengeance is mine. I will. So God will fight your battles. Hallelujah. It's in the Bible. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So all you need to do is understand that as he has fought the prophets of old, as he has gone before and fought Israel's battles, he will fight yours. Yes, he will. He said, I will supply all of your needs. And that is a need. Lord, you take care of me. You uphold me. So when we look at the spirit of bitterness, you can see things of unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger and wrath, hatred, violence, murder. And that bitterness will spring up into murder. People don't even understand, man. They're killing each other because they feel like somebody has offended them. And that retaliation, if you don't understand how to resolve conflicts peaceably, peaceably, then there's a retaliation spirit, and that retaliation spirit leads to murder. So when you have that final spirit of murder, when it takes place, the result can produce spiritual and physical death. So the kingdom of bitterness will separate you from God, yourselves, and others, and carry you into disease, bondage, mental illness, and finally into devastation. So we've got to understand that in order to be peacemakers, in order to live peaceably with human beings, we've got to allow the Spirit of God to come and search us. Search us, Lord. Take out everything that's not like you. Lay that bitterness on the table. Lay that bitterness before the Lord. Lay those issues that people come and they hurt us, and people will hurt you. People will say things that will hurt you. They will do things that's going to hurt you, children, family. And you know, the people that are closest to you have the ability to hurt you the worst. Oh, I said a whole mouthful. I'm going to say it again. The people that are closest to you have the ability to hurt you the worst. And, you know, and sometimes they may not mean it, but we operate out of our flesh. We don't think. We don't allow the Lord to rule and guide in us. And because we're watching stuff and looking at stuff, and we're allowing our eye gates and our senses to be exposed to this world with not fortifying ourselves with the Word of God, with pouring into us what God is saying through His Word, then this flesh takes over. Now, once this flesh takes over in our relatives. They may say and do stuff. Our leadership, our spiritual leadership may say something and do something because we are human. But we as people of God have to live peaceably with others. We've got to learn to take the blows that Satan throws at us and not get angry. And if it hurts us, we've got to learn to pray about it and seek the Lord, because we get tired. We get tired of every day. We get tired of the jobs maybe we're working on. Maybe you're in a situation where you caring for people and it gets rough and you feel like, you know what, you don't have to be here, and you get angry, and that anger turns into bitterness, and then you start lashing out at people and things and family. But we've got to remember that God is still in control, and we want to be peacemakers. We want to show this world who we are as Christians. We want to tell the dying world that Christ is still in control, and He's still a healer. And no matter what you do to me, the Bible says, turn the other cheek, hit me on one side. If I got to give you the other side, so be it. But I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God will show you who He is. And if you keep hitting me too many times, I understand that the God is going to deal with you. So I'm praying for you that God will still have mercy upon you, because God is not going to allow His people to be misused and He don't do something about it. That's just the God that He is. He said, vengeance is mine, and He certainly will pay it. So let us pray. Father God, I thank You for this word that has been spoken on this morning. I pray for each and every one that have come on the line and are listening to this word. I pray, God, that this word would be effective in their hearts, minds, God, and even the element of bitterness. I pray, God, that You heal us right now in the name of Jesus, even myself, Father God. You know the need. You know the struggles that we have. You know the problems that we're going through. You know the storms that we are in. And certainly these storms will cause us to be angry and frustrated. But God, we know that ultimately You are the peacemaker. You are the deliverer. You are the healer. And whatever the test that we're in, we know that You're going to bring us out. Because You said, greater is He that is in us and He that this in the world. And we certainly know that you are peacemaker. We certainly know that you are comforter. You said they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. And you have said that you will bless your people, God. If our ways please you, you will give us the desires of our heart. So certainly I need you to move in us like never before. I need you to heal this land. You said, if my people, which are called by thy name, will humble themselves. We're repenting right now, God. We were repenting for everything that we've done, God. And we're asking, God, for your provision. We're asking, God, for you to move like never before. We're asking, God, that you would take control and see us through, Father God. We pray, God, that you move everything that's not like you out the way. And we pray, God, that you'll move, God, and make us peacemakers. Make us able to help others resolve conflicts peacefully. God, let us be a light. You said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let us be that light on the hill, God. God, allow our salt to be that of favor, God. Flavor, God, that it may touch everyone we speak to, everyone we see, even in our cars, God. Let us be peacemakers, even on our jobs, God, even as we find ourselves in the capacities of caregiving, God. Make us peacemakers, God. Make us loving individuals, God. God, let us operate in your heart. Let us operate in your anointing. Let us operate in your power. Holy Spirit, encamp in us, God. Holy Spirit, move us to another level in you. In the name of Jesus. God, you know. Give us the anointing to do whatever the test or go through the test, whatever where we're at, the capacity that we're working right now, God. Holy Spirit, move us forward in power and in your anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Want to make one more announcement before I leave? I certainly would love to see you on tomorrow. I'm the speaker at Word of Truth Pentecostal Church of God in Christ, 415 West 111th Street. Service starts at 11:30 a.m. If you can make it, I would appreciate it. I'm the speaker there. I would love to see you in the place and let me know I heard you on the blog, and I'm just coming to represent and to support you, and certainly I'll be glad to see you in the house. All right. See you all next week. Be blessed. Bye-bye.